Every human being is created in God's image and should be protected by love and by law. I invite you to join me Saturday, February 1st, for the 15th annual Treasure Coast March for Life. The event will begin at 1 p.m. at 12th and Delaware with speakers, followed by a peaceful march to Fort Pierce City Hall at 2:15, and a life chain at Fort Pierce City Hall from 2:45 to 3:30. For more information, visit Treasure Coast March for Life on Facebook.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As we begin last Sunday, we're going to ask you a question again. Is it still necessary to advocate for the protection of every innocent human life? And just to review, what we showed from last week is that even though Amendment 4 was defeated, abortion still happens in the state of Florida. Even though we have a quote-unquote six-week abortion ban, abortion still happens in the state of Florida. At a lower rate, certainly, but abortion is still happening. Abortionists are still killing preborn children. We also showed that the six-week ban has exceptions. Those exceptions allow women who have been a victim of rape or incest or human trafficking to have an abortion through the end of the 15th week. We talked about how the Bible in Deuteronomy prohibits punishing children for the sins of their fathers. And that is exactly what happens when we put children to death because their father was a rapist. It is really, we need to protect every innocent human life. We need to protect even human beings that were conceived in rape, even human beings that were conceived in incest, even human beings that were conceived when the woman was a victim of human trafficking. We also talked about how the abortion actually covers up what is happening and allows the rape or the incest or the human trafficking to continue. The pimp or whoever is trafficking this young woman, whoever is abusing this young woman, whoever is raping this young woman or committing incest with her could actually be the one taking her to the abortion clinic to get the abortion, and the abortion will cover up what he is doing. And this is unconscionable. We need to protect every innocent human life. We need to punish rapists, those who commit incest. We need to punish human traffickers. We don't need to punish the preborn children. We also showed that this six-week ban has exceptions and allow abortion all the way to the end of the second trimester, around 26 weeks. What we see with this, there's actually an abortion clinic in the state of Florida. It's in Orlando, and they still have on their website, maybe they just haven't updated it with the new law, but they still have their website still says that they actually perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. And you can actually go to the Women's Center in the state of Florida, in Orlando, and you can actually see that on their website that they're still advertising that they perform third trimester abortions for fatal fetal anomalies, even though the law actually prohibits fatal fetal anomaly abortions that long. When a child is diagnosed with a fatal fetal anomaly, it doesn't necessarily mean that they will die. In fact, about 10% of those positive tests are inaccurate, which means that about 10% of the children that are killed had nothing wrong with them. Moreover, in addition to this, we are not in the place of God to take away life. There's only set circumstances that God has given us authority to take life, and that is when a capital offense has occurred. And you can read about that in the Bible. God actually instituted the death penalty for the protection of innocent human life. So we should, our laws should protect everyone, even those who commit crimes, and they should protect them up until the point that they are convicted of a capital offense, at which point their execution is justified. And when that capital offense is one that is laid out based on biblical grounds. And again, you can read about that in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The death penalty actually was, by the way, the Bible actually prescribes the death penalty for rapists, not for their children. The 6-week ban allows for the children to be executed. The U.S. Supreme Court, yeah, previous U.S. Supreme Court, although it's still precedent, a previous U.S. Supreme Court ruled that actually the death penalty for rapists was cruel and unusual punishment. But today we don't put them to death anymore. We put their children, the preborn children, to death. This 6-week ban also allows abortion all the way up until the moment of birth to protect not only the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother. And this does not, it could be other types of health. It doesn't necessarily mean physical health. And so, and by the way, in a case of emergency, all that's necessary is for one doctor, which could be the abortionist himself or herself, who will personally profit from ripping this baby limb from limb, or injecting the heart with a chemical that will kill the baby, and then causing the mother to go into a brutal labor where she will deliver a dead baby, or where saline solution is placed in the amniotic sac that burns the baby to death, and then the baby is delivered in the same way, or where the baby's ripped limb from limb with a suction machine, or where you actually have chemicals that are given to the mother that cut off the necessary hormones that are necessary for the baby to actually continue to develop. And so the baby dies, and then other chemicals that are given to the mother that actually cause the mother to have a violent delivery where she delivers her own dead baby in her toilet. And the toilet water actually washes away the blood, and she sees a very tiny but perfectly formed human being, her own offspring, in the toilet. And she realizes that she actually participated in the death of not a blob of tissue or not just a clump of cells or product of conception, actually a preborn child, a human being created in the image of God that was entrusted, that God entrusted her with to protect, and she actually participated in the death of that preborn child. By the way, if you as a mother or a father who participated in the death of your own child, repent of your sin. It is sin. Abortion is sin. It is murder. It's murder to kill preborn children. If you've consented to abortion, if you've pressured someone to have an abortion, if you've assisted them in having an abortion, repent of your sin. Cry out to God and ask God to forgive you of that sin and come back to Him and seek help. By the way, there's you don't have to go through the rest of your life hoping that no one will find out about what you did. There, you can actually reach out to a pro-life pregnancy center. There are pro-life pregnancy centers in counties throughout this state. And far outnumbering abortion clinics that actually provide post-abortion counseling or can refer you to someone, another center that does, or another organization that does. And you can actually go through a Bible study where you learn to accept the forgiveness that God has given you. And by the way, that doesn't justify sin. You can read about that in the Bible. We don't sin because God will forgive us. That's not an excuse for sin. But when we have sinned, we do have an advocate with the Father, and we can come to God and we can plead the blood of Jesus. We can repent of our sins and God can set us free. You don't have to continue to go through the rest of your life in bondage to that guilt. But in the case where a doctor determines that there's an emergency, that where an abortion needs to happen, that doctor can actually, and again, that doctor could be the abortionist, can actually, on his or her own merits, make a determination that an abortion is necessary to protect not only the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother, and can actually kill that preborn child. We talked last week how it's never necessary to purposely kill a preborn child to protect the life of the mother. And by the way, the 6-week ban does not require the doctors to care for and to try to fight to save the life of the preborn child. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes a baby needs to be delivered early. Sometimes that needs to happen before the baby can survive outside the mother's womb. By the way, we will come to the point, very likely in our lifetime, we will come to the point where scientists and medical professionals can actually sustain a human life in an artificial womb outside the womb. And so, but really, even today, it's never necessary to purposely kill a preborn child. Doctors, true doctors, real doctors, will fight to save both lives wherever possible. And where necessary, certainly, if delivery, premature delivery, is necessary to save the mother's life, definitely, doctors should actually do that. But what should actually happen is that we should actually have doctors should work to protect every innocent human life. It is never necessary to kill a preborn child in the womb. Sometimes premature delivery is necessary, but it's never necessary to purposely kill a preborn child. We talked about our daughter when my wife was pregnant with our first child. Our daughter was born premature, and she was born premature because my wife was sick. But the doctors cared for my wife, but they also cared for our daughter who was inside my wife's womb. And but when my wife's health deteriorated to the point that her life was in danger, they immediately took action, trying to induce labor. When she wouldn't induce, they told us that we needed to have an emergency cesarean section. They didn't rip her limb from limb and crush her skull. They didn't burn her. They didn't inject her heart so that she would die. They didn't slice her piece from piece or partially deliver her and then suck the contents of her brain out and crush her skull and pull her out of the womb. No, they actually delivered her. And thankfully, she was okay, and my wife was okay as well. Real doctors fight to save both lives. But this law actually would allow a woman to be in labor and still have an abortion. That's the current law in the state of Florida. Certainly, it would be unlikely for that to happen, but it is possible for that to happen in the state of Florida. And so, it's still necessary to protect every innocent human life. It's also more necessary than ever to actually advocate in our own local cities and counties for the protection of every innocent human life. Although Amendment 4 failed to reach 60%, that's the required amount that was required for Amendment 4, which would have allowed abortion for any reason with no restrictions all the way up until the moment of birth. If Amendment 4 would have passed, that's what would have happened. Although that failed, it needed to reach 60% to actually pass. It didn't reach 60%, but it did actually reach over 57% of the vote statewide. And compared to Ohio, you know, a few years ago, and actually 2023, there was a constitutional amendment, Amendment 1 in Ohio, that made abortion legal. And that amendment actually received just under 57%. So we actually, in the state of Florida, actually voted more pro-abortion than the state of Ohio voted. And that case actually shocked the nation. A higher percentage of people voted for Amendment 4, again, that would have allowed abortion until the moment of birth, than voted for President Donald Trump. In fact, if you look at the candidates running in your county, I looked at the candidates running in our county, there was only one candidate that had a named opponent on the ballot that received a higher percentage of votes than Amendment 4 in my county. When you look at the counties, we're going to go over a breakdown of counties based on how they voted on Amendment 4. And there are counties, actually the majority of counties in the state of Florida, voted predominantly against Amendment 4. We're going to break these down into certain categories. So the counties that had more than 60%, had 60% or more, that voted no on Amendment 4 are counties that we will say are pro-personhood. In other words, they would actually work, these counties, if a pro-life vote to ban abortion in that county happened, it's very likely that vote would receive more than 60%. And so there were 20. We have 67 counties in the state of Florida. There actually were 20 counties that had more than 60% of the people that voted for that amendment voted no. So these counties, are counties that we would say are pro-personhood. These are counties that would easily and should easily declare themselves sanctuaries for life, where abortion is prohibited and every innocent human life is protected. By the way, even in these counties, there's still work to do. We can still encourage those who are there to work to protect every innocent human life. When we look at the counties that had more than 50% of the voters that voted no on Amendment 4, out of the 67 counties, 40 counties actually had more than 50% that voted no. Now, although there were more counties that voted no, many of these counties have a smaller population. In fact, the largest population that voted, in fact, this county was actually in that top 20 that voted over 60%, Santa Rosa County, which already has declared, the voters actually voted to declare their county a sanctuary for life. That county is the largest of those counties, and it has over 100,000 voters that voted in this for or against Amendment 4. But 40 counties, again, voted pro-life on Amendment 4. when you look at the other counties, so when we look at counties that had more than 50% that voted yes on Amendment 4, there's actually 27 counties, including Brevard County, Indian River County, St. Lucie County, Martin County, Palm Beach County, and really the most pro-abortion county in the state of Florida was Broward County. And so 27 of these counties had a pro-abortion majority on Amendment 4. There also were 10 counties that actually had more than 60% of the voters voted yes on Amendment 4. If only the voters in those counties were voting for Amendment 4, Amendment 4 would have passed. There were 10 counties, and we're going to call this an abortion on demand county. So there were actually 10 counties that did vote for abortion on demand without restriction all the way up until the moment of birth, and would have in these counties, again, if Amendment 4 would have been decided solely on these counties, it would have won in these counties. The most pro-life county in the state is a very small county, Lafayette County, where 76% of the people voted no on Amendment 4. The most pro-abortion county in the state of Florida is Broward County, where almost 69% of the county voted yes on Amendment 4, again, voting to allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth without any restrictions. That's what the language would have done. So it is necessary, if you live in one of the counties that actually voted pro-abortion, it's necessary that you advocate, even if you were in one of the counties that was voted for life. You should even continue to advocate for the protection of every innocent human life. And certainly, if you're in one of those counties that voted more than 60% of the county voted to kill innocent, to allow the killing of innocent human beings all the way up until the moment of birth, you definitely need to work to advocate, to encourage people, to show people the humanity of the preborn child, to proclaim that preborn children, every human being, is created in God's image and needs to be recognized and protected. So I'm going to actually go through and I'm going to run down these counties. We're going to list these from the most pro-life to the most pro-abortion. So of those first 20 counties that actually would have had a supermajority or over 60% voting no on, and did have over 60% voting no on Amendment 4, we have Lafayette, Holmes, Baker, Union, Washington, Gilcrest, Dixie, Liberty, Calhoun, Suwanee, Hardy, Bradford, Taylor, Jackson, Madison, Walton, Santa Rosa, Columbia, Hamilton, Gulf, Glades. Well, actually, Glades goes into the next category. So Gulf is the last of those counties. Then the next counties will be 20 more that actually had a pro-life majority but didn't quite get a 60% that voted no on Amendment 4. This is Glades, Levi, Nassau, Putnam, Wakulla, Okeechobee, DeSoto, Okaloosa, Jefferson, Highlands, Bay, Clay, Franklin, Hendry, Citrus, Sumter, Escambia, St. John's, Marion, Collier, and that rounds out those counties. Of those counties, there are some of them that are quite large. Some of them have more than 200,000 people that voted for or against Amendment 4. Others have over 100,000, but some of these have have as few. In fact, Lafayette had 3,689 that voted either yes or no on Amendment 4. So continuing on, the counties that had a pro-abortion majority are Hernando, Lake, Polk, Flagler, Charlotte, Indian River, Lee, Martin, Manatee, Pasco, Brevard, Volusia, Osceola, St. Lucie, Sarasota, Duval, Miami-Dade. And that rounds out the counties that voted that had the pro-abortion majority. Now the next 10 counties actually had an abortion on demand. More than 60% of the voters in these counties voted yes on Amendment 4. Many of these counties are larger counties. The first of the counties is actually a small county. That is Gadsden, Seminole, Hillsborough, Pinellas, Monroe, Orange, Palm Beach, Leon, Alachua, and Broward. Whether you live in a county that voted predominantly pro-life, predominantly pro-abortion, pro-abortion all the way up until the moment of birth, we still are called by God to advocate for the protection of every innocent human life. And we need to do so. We need to stand up and protect every innocent human life and to work to see the kingdom of God come on earth even as it is in heaven. We need to realize that we are called to disciple the nations in obedience to His commandments. We are called to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. Darkness cannot prevail when the light prevails. And we need to stand up and to let our voices be heard, to be a deliverer for the helpless, to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Every human being is created in God's image and should be protected by love and by law. I invite you to join me Saturday, February 1st, for the 15th annual Treasure Coast March for Life. The event will begin at 1 p.m. at 12th and Delaware with speakers, followed by a peaceful march to Fort Pierce City Hall at 2:15, and a life chain at Fort Pierce City Hall from 2:45 to 3:30. For more information, visit Treasure Coast March for Life on Facebook.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai. Let the wind blow.
tightrope.